Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and on our day 1002, we are here in 2 Corinthians 3. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are wonderful, faithful, and so good to us. Feed us from your word today. Our souls are hungry. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpassed it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're continuing this theme that the Lord in his good providence has us in, where we're thinking about ministry and faithful ministry. But here it stretches beyond that, into an understanding of the surpassing glory of the new covenant fulfilled in Christ versus the old covenant given through Moses. But beginning here, Paul opens this chapter with, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? So you might need a little reminder of what was going on at the end of chapter 2. He said, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one a fragrance from death to death, the other a fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? He's not doing this to puff himself up. Why is he doing it then? He's doing it so that the people will be grounded in the true gospel, the aroma of Christ, not the aroma of man, and will follow after Christ. He's not saying we're better than them in and of ourselves. He's saying it's the aroma of Christ that matters. It's the word of God that matters. And he's going to unpack in this chapter why it is the word of God that matters. Christ is the glory of God in human flesh. He is a surpassing glory to that of the Old Testament glory that was shown to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he is the fulfillment of what was promised there. He is the accomplishment of what was not accomplished there. And this covenant of peace that we learned about yesterday in Ezekiel 34 is in Christ, bringing to us a greater hope, a greater glory. And that is what we need to be keeping front and center. And so it's not about Paul commending himself. He doesn't need a letter of recommendation to them or from them. Some people might have thought, oh, maybe Paul's writing to us because he wants us to give him a letter of recommendation so that when he goes to other churches, we can say, oh, Paul did good work here in Corinth. He says, I don't need a letter of recommendation to you or from you. He says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation. And you're written on our hearts, known and read by all. In other words, the work that the Holy Spirit had done through Paul in Corinth in building up this church will be in Paul's heart forever and is obvious for everyone to see. Now, when he gets to this idea of writing on the heart and not on tablets of stone, that, I believe, is calling his mind back to the prophet Jeremiah and to Ezekiel, which we'll get to in chapter 36, a couple more chapters, and the fact that there's a contrast in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. In the Old Covenant, the law was written on tablets of stone, but in the New Covenant, the law is written on the heart. The letter of the law on a tablet of stone kills. Why? It's called a ministry of death. Why? Why is the letter of the law written on a tablet of stone? Why does it kill? Why is it the ministry of death? Because it's an external standard to which we do not measure up. It's a good standard. It's a holy standard. It's a right standard. But we don't measure up to it. And truth be told, as long as it's written on a tablet of stone and not on our hearts, we don't even want to measure up to it. So we are condemned by the very fact that, yeah, that's right, that's true, that's good, that's what should be. I don't want to do that. My heart is hard. I have a heart of stone, and there ain't no law written on it. So what Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesy is that in the New Covenant, the heart of stone is taken away, the heart of flesh is given to us, and then the Spirit writes the law on our hearts. We're given a new heart, and we're given a desire to keep the spirit of the law, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, to honor God as he deserves, and to love others as made in his image, as those we're called to love. That is better than the external standard because it comes from our hearts, hearts that have been changed by the Spirit through Christ. Now, he then contrasts this glory, and this part is greatly misunderstood, I think, what he's doing here with this ministry of death and glory and the ministry that surpasses the Spirit is even more glory. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he met with God up on the mountain for 40 days, he came down from the mountain and his face was shining with glory. So much so that the people had a hard time even looking at him. And so he made a veil. He had a veil put over his face so that he could speak to the people through the veil and they wouldn't see the radiance of that glory. Now, some people take this to say the glory on Moses' face was fading and Moses didn't want them to see that it was fading. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the fact that the ministry given under Moses, the Old Covenant, the law on tablets of stone, that was going to be brought to an end. That's a temporary arrangement. It's a promise that was awaiting fulfillment. It's a picture that was awaiting reality. It's a shadow that was awaiting substance. So it was always temporary. So it is a temporary ministry, this idea that the way to have a right relationship with God is under the Mosaic law. Now, faith was always required for salvation, but that faith was administered through the Mosaic law. That's no longer the case. Now faith is in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that mean we ignore the Mosaic law? No. The spirit of the law is written on our hearts. Love God, love your neighbor. That is better, right? So Moses had a glory, But even the glory that Moses had that people couldn't stand to see, so there was a veil. And then Paul, again, he's kind of like freestyling here. He's kind of like picking up a theme he got with letter of recommendation written on our hearts, and that, oh, that's right, the law is now written on our hearts. Now there's a veil over Moses. Oh, there's still a veil over Moses. So he's kind of, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying he's just doing this off the top of his head, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's connecting things that on the surface don't appear to be immediately connected, but there's a deep connection. That is, the Jewish people, the people of God, the Israelites, could not look at Moses directly. They only looked through a veil. Now, when they look at the law of Moses, when they look at the books of Moses, when they look at the scriptures, they're still looking through a veil. They're not seeing what is really there. They're seeing man's interpretation. That veil is only removed in Christ. When one turns to the Lord, verse 16 says, the veil is removed. And you can see the law of Moses even for what it was always intended to be, and that is something that would lead us to Christ. As Paul writes in Galatians, the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So in Christ, the veil is removed. And we all now, the last verse of chapter 3 is so powerful, and we all now, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God in human form. He is our covenant mediator. He is the new covenant in his blood. He's our reconciliation with God. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing now in our hearts? He's showing us more and more of Jesus through the Word. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're seeing more and more of Jesus, and we're then being made more and more like Jesus. We're seeing more and more of Jesus through his Word by his Spirit, and so we're being made more and more like Jesus until one day, John writes in 1 John 3:2, one day we will be made perfectly like him because we will see him as he is. To see more of Jesus is to be made more like Jesus. Now we see him through the Word by the Spirit. One day we will see him face to face as he is, and that beholding him that way will completely transform us into his image. Now it's one degree of glory to another. One degree, one degree, one degree, one degree. Then it'll be all filled in on that glorious day. Isn't that wonderful? We've been given in Christ what Moses could only long for and see little pictures of. And even what he saw was enough to make his face radiant. We've been given the fulfillment of that in Christ. We know the one that all of these things were pointing to. He is the Lamb of God. He is the high priest. He is the tabernacle. He is the fulfillment. And so that's a greater glory, to know Christ not in pictures and promises, but in person and reality. But one day we'll see him face to face. No more veil of the flesh, no more separation forever. What a glorious day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our sacrifice, our great high priest, our shepherd, our king. He's everything. Show us more of Jesus day by day through your word, and make us more and more like him from one degree of glory to another, we pray, until that day when we are face to face with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Tomorrow it's back to Ezekiel. Looking forward to that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.